Very warm welcome to you all this afternoon. It's good to be able to join together. We're going to be hearing three testimonies of God's grace in the lives of three of his children. And before we do that, let's ask God's blessing on this time together. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a God who is full of compassion, that you are merciful and kind towards this creation that you have made. We thank you that you have so loved this world that you sent your own Son to be a saviour of sinners. We thank you that whoever believes in him is saved from their sins and given the gift of eternal life. We thank you that this afternoon we can join together to hear how you have worked by your Spirit in the lives of three individuals. And we pray that as we listen to these testimonies of your grace, that our hearts would be stirred, that our minds would be informed, and that we would lift our voices to you in grateful praise for all that you have done. We pray for your mercy upon those in our midst who are yet outside of the kingdom of Christ, who have not bowed before him in repentance, who have not sought your mercy and forgiveness. And we pray that the stories that they hear this afternoon will stir them to consider their own ways, their own need, and this opportunity that they have to call upon the name of the Lord in this day of grace and salvation. We pray that you would bless and show mercy, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first up is Idolette. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming today. First of all, I am unworthy to be standing here sharing about God's work in my life. I stand here because he is worthy. It is all of grace and for his glory. I was blessed to be born into a Christian home, and I do not remember a day when I didn't know about Jesus or the gospel. As a child, I had big questions about who God was. This continued into my teenage years, and I thought deeply about God and life. Life was confusing to me. Things happened that I didn't understand. Even though I know and believe the truth that God saved me at a specific time and day, it has felt more like a gradual process of a few years, filled with ups and downs, in which I have come to know more of God, love him more, and serve him more wholeheartedly. When I was around 10 or 11 years old, I started to really struggle with my thoughts and with depression and anxiety. I felt miserable and like everything was wrong with me, and at times like God had forsaken me or that maybe he didn't even exist. I remember telling Mum about what I was thinking and how I couldn't sleep and how I thought that God would never answer my cry for relief and deliverance from it all. These evil thoughts about God and the people around me just seemed to pop into my head, like my thoughts were out of my control. What was going on is still unclear to me, but I know that God had a purpose in it all. He used it to teach me many things. Satan was attacking and tempting me and filling my mind with lies. What I needed to do was to cry out to God in repentance and faith and turn with my whole heart to him. I don't think that I could have come through this dark season without Mum. She was a huge blessing to me and was so patient toward me, emulating the character of God and his patience and love towards me. There's one thing I would say looking back on 2016 to 2020, it is this. The grace of God has reached for me when I did not deserve his mercy or love. And there wasn't one specific moment or day when this all went away, and I still struggle to this day, but gradually God began to work in my heart to renew my mind and to lift the darkness. He answered my prayers and gave me a love for his word. During the first lockdown in 2020, I started to intentionally get into the word for myself and pray and deepen my relationship with God. Though life continued to be hard, he sustained me. As I sought to know God more, Satan began to fill my mind with doubt. Throughout 2020 and 2021, I struggled with doubt and a lack of assurance of faith. It was particularly intellectual doubt. I questioned what I'd been taught all my life, if God existed, if his word was true and who I was. Sometimes I was afraid that God was judging me for any unconfessed sin there may have been in my life or for past sins. I was worried he wasn't happy with me or didn't love me. One of the biggest ways God has worked in me is through the spiritual disciplines, particularly reading the word and prayer. Another thing I learned during my struggle with doubt and am still learning is that I would never be convinced of the truth of Christianity or the reliability of the Bible through reading books or listening to sermons. It had to be a work of the Holy Spirit. So I began to pray that God would change me, assure me of these truths and take away the doubt, and help me to focus on helping others. And me answered. Many struggles have arisen since then, with food, dreams, anxiety, and discontentment. But I remind myself again and again of the truth. My heart is restless until it finds its rest in Christ. His word gives me life, and it is a light to my path. He pursued me before I ever sought him. He opened my eyes to know that I am a sinner, and that I have rebelled against him, and am by nature a worshipper of self. But Jesus changes everything. He died for me. He gave his life so that I might live forever with him. Galatians 2 verse 20 is a very special verse to me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we surrender our lives to Christ, all our struggles with self and sin will not go away, and new ones will arise. But we know with confidence that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. My story is not fancy, and I don't know exactly when I was saved, but I know what matters is that I am now trusting in Christ alone for salvation.
Thank you, Adelheid, for that clear testimony to the grace of God towards you. What a wonderful thing it is to know that God saves sinners. And Dave is going to tell the story of how the Lord worked in his life to bring him to salvation as well.
Maybe I should start by apologising. I don't know, I haven't timed it, so I don't know how long this is going to take. Probably not too long. Thank you, Adelheid, for that testimony. I sometimes stand here preaching from God's word, and I must admit that I think I'm more nervous now as I'm about to stand here to give my testimony for some reason. But so here it is. So I was born into a Christian home. Both my parents were Christians, and so I attended church from as young as I can remember. Back in Mosgiel, where I grew up, we attended the Apostolic Church up until I was around 7 years old, and for whatever reason, we stopped attending that church, and we started going to the local Baptist church. So I was about 7 years old when we started going to the Baptist church. It was just a run-of-the-mill Kiwi Baptist church. It wasn't reformed in any way. And so I guess as a youngster, I always knew that God existed. But looking back upon those years, I didn't know God. It was just an awareness that he was there, but there was certainly no personal relationship with him at all. But I was grateful for my Christian upbringing. But in general, I really didn't live with showing any interest in the things of the Lord. I faithfully attended church with my family up until around seventh form, which I think is year 13 for those of you here who don't know what seventh form means. And so obviously, as I got a bit older, I started losing interest in things completely. When I had a bit more freedom, I started making my own decisions about my church attendance, of which that caused some concern to my parents, as we'll see in a moment. And back then, I probably would have called myself a Christian, although looking back, I know it wasn't the case that I was. And I can remember there were two times throughout those years of my life growing up where I distinctly remember praying the prayer. You know, that was how you became a Christian, you see. You pray, repeat after me, pray the prayer, you know. Very much the Billy Graham approach to seeing people saved. You know, go up the front, pray the prayer, give your life to the Lord. And so that happened to me twice. And I don't think either of those times I became a Christian. The first time I was 11 or 12 years old at Sunday school. And this was the type of Sunday school where you attended Sunday school while the adults stayed in the worship service. So it's somewhere where the kids went while the adults did the adults thing. And so I was around 11 or 12, and the Sunday school teacher, he said, oh, if anyone would like to stay behind, when we're finished and talk a bit more about becoming a Christian, then please do. And because of where I was sitting against the wall on this side, the wall behind me, there's a guy sitting beside me, table in front of me. He didn't leave, and so I couldn't leave. You know, the only way out was under the table and sort of in between his legs, and I really was uncomfortable doing that, so I stayed there. And one thing led to another, and me and the guy beside me prayed the prayer. And of course, there was no great light from heaven. There was nothing of significance happened. And of course, that's what I was expecting as an 11 or 12 year old. You pray the prayer and all of a sudden this magical thing takes place and voila. But nothing changed. And so I went on living as I always did. And so life went on. And the second time when I distinctly remember praying the prayer, I was probably around 19. And by this stage, I'd essentially stopped going to church. And I was basically just living like the world. But it's interesting, you know, looking back upon those years, I do recall that the Lord graciously kept me from descending into a level of sin that those around me and my circle of friends were going into. So the Lord was at work even though I didn't know him. And so I wasn't attending church. My parents were concerned, and so they got the pastor involved. And so I ended up back at church, this time with a new job, which was manning the sound desk, you know, twiddling the knobs on the Sunday morning, getting the sound right for the music and the microphones and all the rest. So there I was, back at church. And so long story short, our church was asked to lead the worship at a combined service in Mosgiel. A whole lot of churches were attending. There was a visiting speaker who was going to be speaking about end times. And the sort of end times speaker who was all about how the Illuminati are controlling everything and the mark of the beast is the microchip in your hand or your head and, you know, it's all the conspiracy theory type of thing. So that was this speaker who was coming to speak. And so there I was, manning the sound desk, getting the sound right while the music was playing. And so on the stage, the speaker had these two images, one at each end, and one was a picture of hell and one was a picture of heaven. And at the end of his talk, he gave this gospel presentation and he asked this question, where are you going to spend your eternity, heaven or hell? And I was sitting there and thinking, well, I prayed the prayer. I'm a Christian. Of course I'll go to heaven. And while that was what I was thinking, I knew that wasn't actually true. And so before the night was over, there I was up the front praying the prayer with a bunch of others who had walked up the front at the end of this service. And again, no great transformation, nothing happened. But of course the logical progression after praying the prayer was that you get baptized. And so that's what I did. That was the thing to do. And my parents were thrilled at this, of course. Their sound desk plan worked. And there I was, someone who had prayed the prayer, someone who had been baptized, attending church. And of course, I was given a new job, another job. So I graduated from doing the sound desk and I was now the youth group leader. And so there I was, responsible for these young kids to lead them in some form of discipleship and Christian training, and not a Christian myself at this stage. But it was at this time, really, that the Lord started to work. This is when I can really start, you know, putting my finger on key things that he started doing, what started out in small ways. And I had a friend who was going through some difficult times, and I started praying regularly for my friend. This was out of the ordinary because I never prayed. And so for me to start praying for a friend of mine, it wasn't that I prayed with him. It was like when I was alone by myself in my bedroom, I started praying for my friend. And, you know, I started praying, but I still didn't know the gospel and I still didn't know the Lord. But still, the Lord continued to work, and it really was something that I can only put down to a work of the sovereign grace of God. There was no prayer that I prayed. It really was just an act of the Lord to transform me in a sovereign way. And this happened in 1999 after attending an Easter camp in Christchurch. And I'd taken a carload of the kids up to Christchurch where we attended this camp. And it was on the way back when the Lord showed up in a mighty way. And I know some people get converted in some strange places and situations. We know the testimony of the Apostle Paul. He was converted on the road to Damascus as he was going there to kill Christians. A friend of mine was converted to Christ while sitting on the toilet. Well, I was driving in my car at the time. It was late at night. There weren't too many other vehicles on the road. So it wasn't like things were that risky. But anyway, I couldn't just, you know, I couldn't dictate when the Lord was going to turn up in my life. I'm just presenting the facts of what happened. You know, honestly, I wouldn't care where I was and what I was doing when the Lord turns up in my life. The main thing is that he turned up. So we were coming home from this Easter camp, and as we were 1990s kids, we were singing along to DC Talk, if anyone knows about DC Talk. And somewhere on State Highway 1 between Christchurch and Dunedin, God chose to show up in a big way in my life. And I won't go into too many details about what took place. I'm happy to talk to people afterwards if they want to ask me about it some more. But I just have a couple of Bible verses that provide really provide some biblical context for what the Lord did at that time and in my life from that point on. And the first verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. And this is where the Apostle Paul says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And the second verse, or verses, is found in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 37 through to 39. The Lord Jesus says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified." And so if I can characterize this experience at all, it was defined by these two words, light and life. I went from being in darkness to having my life flooded with light. I went from being dead to the things of God to experiencing a river of life flowing out of me. And from that day onward, God birthed in me new desires. He gave me a hunger for prayer and the Word. And in those days, it wasn't unusual for me to spend hours praying and reading the Word. The cross of Christ, which I had no understanding of before that time, it became what Paul says, the power of God and the wisdom of God. I longed to be with God's people, and I would have attended church every day if I could have. And I also started telling others about the Lord. And, you know, no one had to tell me to do these things. God simply acted savingly and powerfully. And that's really all my testimony is. My testimony is an act of God by his sovereign grace to save a sinner through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is my testimony, as it is the testimony of all of us here who profess Christ as our Lord and Saviour. So thanks be to God.
Thanks, Dave, for sharing that wonderful work of God in bringing you at last to a saving knowledge of himself. Some missteps along the way, but the Lord God eventually works and accomplishes that which he purposes and gives us the full proof of his presence and of his grace. Well, now it's my turn to tell you my story. And I want to begin on the 24th of February 1980. It was just after my 12th birthday. I stood before the congregation in the Baptist church in which I had been brought up, attending with my parents and my older and younger brothers. That evening was one of the most significant evenings of my life. In a few minutes, I was to be baptized. And I had in my hand a piece of paper. On it were words that had been carefully typewritten with two fingers on my mother's old manual typewriter. Here it is, the very piece of paper. And I read from it with shaking hands. I have been brought up in a Christian home, but it is only recently that I have realized I am a sinner and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I cannot go to heaven without God's love and forgiveness. I have asked Jesus to come into my heart and to help me through the temptations and difficulties of sin. Well, that was it. Very simple and basic testimony, but with all the ingredients of the testimonies that we've heard this evening. I'm a preacher now, so I have to unpack it. Five statements were made in that testimony. The first was, I realized I was a sinner. And that doesn't really convey the reality adequately. Some 4 or 5 months prior to that evening where I was to be baptized, the Lord began to work in my heart, convincing me that I was a sinner. Like many of you here this afternoon, I wasn't that bad a kid. After all, I had been brought up in a Christian home. I was only 11 years old. How much trouble can an 11-year-old get into? I expected a few more smiles at that point, but there we are. Okay, so I wasn't too bad, but the Lord showed me that my heart was deceptive above all things and desperately wicked. The Lord gave me a sense of my own sin, my disobedience to my parents, my hatred at times of my brothers, the lies that I told, the unkind things that I did. All of these things began to prick my conscience and drive me to the conclusion that I was really bad, that I was a real sinner. The second statement I made was that I realized I cannot go to heaven without God's love and forgiveness. That was the reality. Not only was I a sinner, but I became convinced that God was just in condemning me to hell. I became absolutely convinced that hell was my destiny, that that was where I was going. And night after night went by, week after week went by, and the fear of hell gripped me. I longed to know the love of God. I longed to know the peace of God. I longed to be sure of his forgiveness, but all I was sure of was that I was a sinner and that I was going to hell. The third statement I made in that brief testimony was that I realized Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And that's such good news. I've heard it over and over and over again for years. But in 1979, the truth of it dawned on my soul. It dawned on me that Jesus Christ died on the cross, not just for sinners generally, but that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. That he died on that cross to take my sins, those sins that were condemning me to hell. Those sins that in God's justice he had to deal with. And I knew that Jesus died there to pay the penalty for my sins, that the cross was the place of forgiveness, the place that I craved. The fourth statement that I made in that testimony was that I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Well, that was, and it still is, the language so often used. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. And I used it. Now, perhaps I should say what it meant to me. And I could say what it would mean to me now. But I want to convey to you that as an 11-year-old, this is what it meant for me to ask Jesus into my heart. It meant to have his presence. It meant to know that God was with me, the all-powerful creator of the heavens and the earth, to know that his life was my life, and that by his indwelling presence he would free me from the power of sin that gripped my life and prevented me from having any peace. And that with him living in me, I would have all the resources that I would need to live for him. From that moment forward, Charles Wesley's hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in My Saviour's Blood," became so meaningful to me. In the fourth verse, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." And so the fifth statement that I made in my testimony was that I asked him to help me through the temptations and difficulties of sin. I knew I was weak. I knew I was ignorant. I didn't know very much, and I needed his help. And on that night when I was to have been baptized, to be plunged into those waters bearing testimony to what Christ has done for me, and publicly identifying with him, I knew that I would become a target for the evil one, that he would seek me out. I had this real sense that I was in danger, and I needed God's help. I needed him with me facing temptation. I needed him with me in the difficulties of sin. And what a blessing that evening was to me, that evening when I was baptized, the 24th of February 1980. It was a means of grace to me, and has been so many times since. It has kept me when I face temptation, knowing that I had declared that I belonged to Jesus, and he was with me. How could I give in? How could I entertain sinning against such a Saviour? And over again, it would be a confirmation of the reality that for me, there was now no condemnation. That Christ was mine and I was his. That day that I was baptised, my Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Mills, gave me a card. Here it is. In it she wrote Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so 42 years later, here I am, testifying to the grace of God in my life. If you don't know Jesus, he can be your saviour too. He can take away the sin. He can give you peace with God. He can be with you every day of your life, keeping you, guarding you, protecting you, enabling you to walk worthy of him. This is my testimony, and it's because of God's grace to me. Ian's going to close our meeting in prayer.
Pray. Thank you very much, David. O Lord our God, how we thank you. How we thank you for indeed your work of grace in our brothers and sisters who have testified to what you have done in their lives. And surely, O Lord God, our hearts are moved and our hearts are warmed within us as we consider, O Lord, your faithfulness, your graciousness, your kindness, your mercies, your love towards sinners. We thank you, Lord, that although 20 years have separated each testimony that we've heard this afternoon, Lord, it is the same testimony. It is a testimony to your saving grace, your sovereign mercy, your gracious love, your wonderful faithfulness to sinners who turn in repentance to you. O gracious God, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with Idalet and with Dave and with David as they have shared this wonderful work that you have done in their lives. O Lord, strengthen them for the years that lie ahead and the weeks and the days, Lord, that lie ahead, that each day would be faced with you, with confidence in you, assurance that you, Lord, are with them, as indeed you are with each of us, in whom you have worked, in whom you have shone the lights of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In each of us, O Lord God, who can testify to the power of Christ in us. O Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to say, no longer do I live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. O Lord, we pray that many more would be able to testify to this work, that you would be at work in hearts here, even now. And those who hear these testimonies, O God, we pray, be at work and in shining the light of your word, the light of the gospel, and bringing life and light to the glory of your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.